Good morning. Happy Sabbath. And here we are again, another Sabbath day, to worship our God, to ask Him for the strength, the endurance, and the things we need to keep us on the ball, on the track. Okay, so let us look at today's message. Man's godly inheritance. Man's godly inheritance. And we get such deliverance and such blessings from God. We cannot ever forget it. We cannot ever take it too lightly. God loves us and He gives us everything we need. God is always there for us. He never fails us. Even when we think God is not there, He's always on top of everything. He loves us so much. When we fail and we fall, He picks us up. And He helps us to go on. He gives us comfort. He prepares us for the next course of action. And he never lets us go without that help. He taught us to continue, to never give up, and to always have Him in our hearts so that He could give us the things that we need. He continues to teach us. He corrects us. He strengthens us. And He's grooming us for that great day when we shall all be together. He gives us assistance and support in times of trouble and distress. Our God does this for us all the time. He knows our trouble. He knows our pain. He knows our distresses. Of course, He's God. He knows everything. But there's another reason why He knows so well. Because the Lord came to this earth and lived like one of us. From childhood all the way through, He lived like one of us and did the things that we do. Went through the same pains and sufferings that we go through. And not only that, He experienced a far worse chastisement than we ever will. So He knows. He knows. And He's preparing us for the great day. In first Hebrews, the first chapter, and verse 1 tells us about His nature. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors by the prophets at different times and in different ways. And this long ago is from the very beginning. From the very beginning, when He put Adam in the garden and Eve, He gave them messages then. He taught them then. He showed them at that time how to act, what to do, how to behave, what we need for survival. He didn't hide Himself. He didn't speak in a strange tongue. He did not command difficult or impossible tasks. He gave us all what we could handle. He provided beauty, comfort, all the necessities that we needed for life in that beautiful garden, long before anyone ever heard of a prophet. They were equipped with everything that was needed. And we were commanded to carry out his commands, his orders, his encouragement, his upliftment. Do it all. And he promised that everything will go fine with us. We didn't have to worry. But man refused and rejected the guidance of God. Man did it then. Man did it throughout the ages. We are doing it now. And still, God does not give up on us. He's with us. He tries to get it into our heads to get it right before it's too late. Verse 2 says, in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son. God has appointed him heir of all things and made the universe through him. Again, brethren, let's remember that although the words come through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is called the Word, he's also the God of the New Testament. So he is God who gave up his place and came as a man. He is the one who taught Adam and Eve. He's the one who instructed them what should be done and how they should do it. Verse 3 says, the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. So he went through the whole nine yards. And then he reflected the glory of God, sat beside the Father on the Father's throne. And the Father was so well pleased, our Father, he said from the heavens, this is my beloved Son, of whom I am well pleased. By that time, our Lord had already experienced every evil thing that one can expect. He was targeted, treated badly. All that for us. All that for us. So all this great love and support that the Lord gave us is the assistance that we need to do the things that he is guiding us and blessing us to do. Verse 4 says, so he became superior to the angels, just as the name he inherited is more excellent than theirs. Many times we may ask, what's in a name? It's just a name, not to God. To God, you must live up to your name. Whatever you are known for, you must live up to that. Do not fail. And the name should portray that meaning. But the name would mean nothing if that individual does not have the qualities, possess the qualities, and live according to it. He has qualified for each and every one of them by his great works. So we know that our Lord is superior to the angels. He is God. He made them. And verse 5 says, for to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have become your father? Or again, I will be his father, and he will be my son. God did not give his son a great name to make him look good. On the contrary, he did great works to earn that name and to earn those titles. He said, you are my son, today I have become your father. He was talking to a God who had given up his godly status to come to earth and give his perfect life as a ransom, that all mankind could be offered an opportunity to be like him, to come to him, to live with him forever. Because we know that the blood of bulls and goats couldn't do it. That was just a temporary sacrifice that took care of it for that moment. And that through the power of God. But he gave us a more permanent blessing by sending our Lord. So he went through it all. He suffered and he died. Verse 6 says, again, when he brings his firstborn into the world, he says, and let all God's angels worship him. Our Lord is to be worshipped at all costs. At all costs. He gave up his place for us. And he made things a lot easier than it would have been if he hadn't done that, given his life. And it's up to us. Psalm 8 and verse 5 says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. And as a man, our Lord excelled in every way, never having sinned. He never sinned. And about the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his servants a fiery flame. The angels are as swift as the wind and strong as fire. The word tells us he created the angels to minister to man, to minister to both God and man. And even to this day, the angels minister to man. In Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 13 and 14, we ask the question. It says, now to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies my footstool? The angels are wonderful, made by God, mighty and powerful, but created to serve God and to serve man. And in a wonderful world tomorrow, their work will be greatly appreciated by all, but they are ministering spirits. Verse 14 says, they are not at all, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve those who are going to inherit salvation? Those who are going to inherit salvation. Who's that, brethren? That's you and me. And all those who love the Lord and does his work as he leads us. So in his great victory, the angels minister to him. In Matthew, the fourth chapter, and verse 8, it says, again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, I will give you all these things if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus told him, go away, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him. Then the devil left him, and angels came and began to serve him. So angels minister to both God and man. Mankind is not even aware of how much angels minister to us, the things that they save us from, the things that they prevent, the bad things they prevent from happening to us. Mankind is not even aware. Father Abraham, he believed. It says in Genesis 24, verse 1. It says, Abraham was now old, getting on in years, and the Lord had blessed him in everything. Abraham said to his servant, the elder of his household, who managed all he owned, place your hand on my thigh, and I will have you swear by the Lord God of heaven and the God of earth that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live, but will go to my land and my family and take a wife from my son Isaac. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is unwilling to follow me to this land. Should I have your son go back to the land you came from? And Abraham answered him, make sure that you don't take my son back there. And this shows his belief. This shows his belief. Verse 7 says, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from my native land, who spoke to me and swore to me, I will give this land to your offspring. He will send his angel before you, and you can take a wife for my son from there. Abraham was not wondering or praying that this would happen. He knew. He believed in the Lord, and he knew this is what the Lord would do. We must have the same belief. We must know that we have that protection. And we must live up to it. Show that we believe it. And do everything in our power to do what is right and good before the Lord. So verse 7 says, God makes his angels winds and his servants a fiery flame, showing that they are servants. But verse 8 says, but to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. So this is the Father, our God, our Father, speaking to his Son, and he said, your throne, O God, your throne, O God, is forever and ever, and the scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of justice. This is why we're blessed with Sukkah. This is why we're blessed from all the extreme problems and trouble that we have, the distresses that we have to overcome. This is why so much of it is taken care of sometimes without even realizing that it's all coming from God, all coming from God. His great power, his glory, his kingdom shall last forever. His kingdom shall last forever. When our Lord comes again, it will be with power and with great glory. Justice shall never fail. All people will know God's way. All people will practice God's way. No one will forget the rules and regulations. They will be so orderly, so special, so precious. All men will cling to them. It will make so much sense. It would be foolish not to do it, not to live by it. The word goes on, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. This is why God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of joy beyond your companions. This is what is going to happen when the time comes. It's going to be just living for what is good, what is righteous. Hebrews 1 and verse 10 says, and in the beginning, God, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like clothing. You will roll them up like a cloak, and they will be changed like clothing. But you are the same, and your years will never end. And brethren, I would like to just read to you as a conclusion, giving us that greater understanding, an even greater understanding of what power and glory comes from our Lord Jesus Christ, how he suffered, and how much was achieved. I'm going to read Isaiah 53, which we all know and love so much, knowing what was given for us and to us by the suffering of our Lord. And it says, "Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He didn't have an impressive form or majesty that we should look at him, no appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by man. A man of suffering who knew what sickness was. He was like someone people turned away from. He was despised, and we didn't value him. Yet he himself bore our sicknesses, and he carried our pains. But we in turn regarded him stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced because of our rebellion, crushed because of our iniquities. Punishment for our peace was on his back, and we are healed by his wounds. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before her shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was taken away because of oppression and judgment, and who considered his fate? For he was cut off from the land of the living, and he was struck because of my people's rebellion. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, but he was with a rich man at his death, because he had done no violence and had not spoken deceitfully. Yet the Lord was pleased to crush him severely. When you make him a guilt offering, he will see his seed and will prolong his days. And by his hand, the Lord's pleasure will be accomplished. After his anguish, he will see light and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will carry their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him the many as a portion, and he will receive the mighty as spoil, because he willingly submitted to death and was counted among the rebels. Yet he bore the sin of many and interceded for the rebels." And this is what the Lord did for us, brethren, something that we must be very thankful for and live up to.